Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
You Of the goodness. are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am making, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out.
I remember quite a few years ago, in one instance, I was probably in my early 20s, so that's 50-some years ago. The other incident that I remember was probably back in the 1990s. And it was the introduction to the pastor's, the particular sermons that I was listening to. One of the pastors gave this in his introduction. He started talking about the Christian lifestyle, what Christians are experiencing, how Christians are living out their faith in this world. And his conclusion to that observation was to say, surely there's more than this. Surely there's more to this faith, this journey that we are on, than what we are experiencing. That set in my mind for years, and it's still there, and so that's part of my introduction today. Another pastor gave this illustration, and I wasn't really paying close attention at first, and so I missed some of the beginning parts of it. But I picked it up where he was sitting on a dock by a lake. I don't know what lake it was. It doesn't make any difference. But there was a huge pelican sitting on one of the stands on the dock. And he's just watching this pelican. And the pelican took off, just started to flap its wings and took off into flight. And he said, wow, what power. And then he continued his illustration by talking about sitting at an airport, watching the jets coming and going, and watching the jets getting to the start of the runway and powering up and taking off. And he said, what power. His message that day was on the resurrection. And he said, now that's power. power of the resurrection. An attribute of God is his omnipotence. He is all-powerful. He's absolute and infinite in power. I would believe if you've been around the church more than a couple of months, you know and you've learned that, you've understood that. It's part of our catechism. It's part of our teaching. It's part of the discipleship as we come through our faith and live out our faith. God is all-powerful. And we think about his power when we think of creation. He spoke into existence all things out of nothing. That's power. And not only did he speak creation into existence, he maintains his creation. He didn't just set it to run by itself. He's actively involved in his creation and all things around us. That's power. He's powerful in drawing all mankind into a relationship with him, redemption. The conversion of sinners, boy, there's some power. And I trust you've experienced that saving power in your life. That's the power of God. We think of the miracles and the events in the Old Testament and New Testament that took place and can only be attributed to God and his power. How he had power over earthly strongholds, and we talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning of nations and powerful nations, and how God, through his power, overrides those strongholds. How he delivers his people over and over and over again. His power. Not our power. We don't get through these things on our own. It's his power that brings us through all things. And we are aware that even though he is omnipotent, although we know that he is able to do all things, he only does those things that are in harmony with his wise and holy and perfect nature. He doesn't go beyond. He doesn't use his power for ill intent. He uses it only for good. Imagine, I just can't imagine, but try to, if God were to turn bad, if God were to turn against his creation, he can't do that. I'm so glad for that. And in his power, he wants the best for all of us. Now, I mentioned in my last message, if you took notes, you may have this. If you didn't take notes, you may remember. But this stuck in my head because that's why I'm coming with this particular message today, is that when we are filled with his Holy Spirit, baptized with his Holy Spirit, that may be starting to ring some bells for you. When we're baptized with his Holy Spirit, we become people of power. And in a sense, we partake with the omnipotence of God in our lives. That's kind of where I took a little side note. I don't know if you remember. I said, you probably better revisit this next time I'm with you. So I'm revisiting it. My mind did work for a little bit during that message. And we remember that we have his Spirit living within us. He is the one who is the power. We're not the power. But his Spirit reigning in us, living in us, we become partakers of his all-powerful nature. We don't become God. We don't take that power and control things around us because we have him now. But we do become partakers with him. And that's the foundation for my message today. And I was thinking of this power thing over the last several weeks, our culture today is kind of enamored with beings, people, I don't know what they are, human or otherwise, who are endowed with superhuman powers. Have you kind of caught that message around? I think there's some movies out about superheroes with superpowers, super abilities. My exposure to the world of superheroes came many, many years ago, black and white television, Superman. And I can remember mild-mannered Clark Kent walking down the street with his black rim glasses on and seeing something happening around him, and he said, "This looks like a job for Superman." And there was always a telephone booth handy. And he would jump into that telephone booth, and I don't know how he moved around like he did, but in less than a nanosecond, he came out dressed with his cape, with his capital S on his chest, and he had this superhuman power where he was faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, and he was also able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Superhuman, super power. And since that day of seeing Superman on TV, there have been other superhumans that have generated their unique identifying superpowers. Today you'll hear people being asked, "If you were a superhuman, who would you be? And what would your superpower be?" Recently at the Y, our YMCA in Fostoria, all I do at the Y is swim. 3 or 4 times a week I try to go swimming. And I was changing in the locker room and somebody walked in and said, "Oh, Aquaman, how you doing?" I said, "I think that was a kind thing to say." I wasn't too sure. I think there is an Aquaman. I didn't look it up. I didn't try to figure that one out. All I know, though, is as Aquaman at the Y, my superpower is to keep from sinking. That's. They said, "Bernie, why don't you become a lifeguard?" I said, "Because I can't tread water. I sink. I have to keep moving. I can't do anything. So that's all I do. I just go forward, back and forth, back and forth, whatever. That's my superpower. I keep from sinking." Heard a commercial recently. What would you like the power to do? If you could have the power to do anything, what would it be? So let me ask you a question. What is your superpower? Take your Bibles, if you would, and let's turn to our text today. John chapter 14. And let's stand as we would read and reverence the reading of his word together. John chapter 14. Beginning at verse 12. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, all because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." What is your superpower? Let's pray. Father, our prayers this morning have been directed to you and asking you to speak into our heart and into our lives. May the words that we hear today be more than just human vibrations created by human vibrations created by humans. But Father, from the time it's spoken, from the time it gets to our ears, may you speak into our life life-changing words, challenging words, as James prayed in his prayer, convicting words. May we know today that we're hearing from you, and from a passage that may be new to us, or maybe it's old, may it be fresh, fresh as ever. May I not be exalted, may this church not be lifted up, but may you be lifted up and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name, Amen. You may be seated. I can't tell you. I'm almost embarrassed to say I read this passage a number of times. Those of you who are reading through the Bible have read it. Some are going to hit it two times this year. I was probably in my 40th time reading through Scripture when this verse stopped me. And I began to say, whoa, this doesn't seem possible. Greater works than Jesus? Seriously? I, Bernie Dixon, feeble human being, are going to do greater things than Jesus? Put your name in there. Jesus is speaking not just to the apostles. This is a very general noun here that he's saying, those who are followers of Christ, those who come under the lordship of Jesus, will do greater things than I have done. Here's the disciples who have walked with Jesus these 3 years or so and seen so many incredible things. They saw his power release when he changed the water into wine. They saw his power released when he fed the multitudes. They were passing out the food and it just kept coming. They had 10 times more in savings than they started with. Power released through Jesus. Miraculous healings, raising the dead, walking on water. You will do greater things than these. What can be greater than those things? What can be greater than this manifestation of God on earth? These miracles where God suspended the laws of physics and nature and amazing things happen. And then you think later on, at the very last verse in the book of John, John says, Jesus did many other things. In fact, if all of them were to be recorded, I imagine the world itself wouldn't have enough room for the scrolls that would be written. And you will do greater things than these. And Jesus set a high bar, didn't he? And here we are, and we're to do greater things. The walking on water thing gets, I think that's one of my favorite miracles. I've envisioned that a number of times. My imagination has gone wild with Jesus walking on water. When we were in Israel a few years ago on a work witness trip, we were out on the Sea of Galilee. And I asked our tour guide, I says, where was Jesus when he was praying prior to walking on the water? And, well, let me just tell you this. Here, I see Jesus praying, speaking to Father. Great, great conversation, back and forth. Jesus is listening. God is listening. Father's listening. They're talking back and forth. And all of a sudden, Father says, Jesus, the guys are in trouble. It's dark out. There's a storm brewing. Not just brewing, it's raging. Jesus, you need to go get with the guys. So Jesus keeps praying. He walks down this mountain. And here's where I envision. I envision him coming down the mountain, down this, through the hill, just across the meadow, and a sandy beach, and just kept on praying and just walked and walked right on. Never gave the thought that there was water. It was just like land to him. He didn't even stop to think about the raging waves and the wind. He was so busy speaking to Father, he just kept walking. I mean, that's how I envision. And then when I'm seeing what he did, he came down, and as you come down from the mount where they think he was, or probably would have been, could have been, you just come right straight down, and there's some rocks, and then you're in the water. It didn't even flatten out. He just came straight down right into the water and just kept on walking. What an incredible miracle of Jesus walking on the water. How could he do that? How is that possible? Now, many would say, well, of course he could do it. He was God. And I would say, you're wrong. He was as human as you and I. I would submit that Jesus was not granted any special privileges because of being God. He is fully God, fully man. He was not given anything special given to him in his incarnation. When he tripped, he fell. God didn't keep him from falling. When he went out in the rain, he got wet. In the winter, he got cold. He was not given any special dispensation. He was nurtured as a young child. We capture this from Mary. I believe from the earliest moments of his life, he was taught to believe in God and to love and obey God's will and desires for his life. It wasn't because when he was 2 or 3, he realized, hey, I'm God. He was as human as you and I. I appreciate the prayers for the children today and every Sunday. Because that is where they are learning. And now in their children's church, they're learning the love of God for them and how to love God. Jesus, from the very earliest moments of his life, learned about a God in heaven who loved him and all creation. And I believe that in that teaching, in that nurturing from his mother, taking him to the synagogue, listening to the teachers, he developed a profound desire to know more about God and to know about the ways of God. And to serve God and to be faithful to God. He found great pleasure in that. And something about the teachings in the temple, the depths of the teaching, he desired for himself. One of the first scriptures that I memorized as in my catechism was Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and favor with God and man. It just didn't happen. That was his development. That was his nurturing. That was his journey. And see, my point is that Jesus didn't become the person he became just because he was God. Yes, he is God incarnate. Paul says he came down, actually it's one of the early hymns of the church, he came down after being in the form of God, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. Fully God, fully man. And the extraordinariness about his life and his character was not a given, but was a byproduct of his journey, his faith journey, with his Father. He consistently resisted the temptations of the world from his nurturing. We read about the 3 temptations in Matthew and how Jesus did not submit and give in. Tempted as we are, in all ways, but without sin. Those were his choices. He resisted any attachment to the world, even to the point of death on a cruel cross, a cruel death. How was he able to get to that point of extraordinary? How could he do the things that he did? And I would probably submit couple of things here. I like to believe that it was because the God part of him was coming through every once in a while. That is, he was created. He had created all things, and when he saw the human plight and the conditions around him, he had compassion on them because he was God. And he didn't create people that way or create those situations that they were living in. And so he just couldn't help himself but did those miracles. If that was the case, though, why didn't he heal and why didn't he fix everything? Why did he stop with just a few individuals and a few situations? So let's put that one off to the side, okay? I believe he had intimacy with his Father. He chose, because of that intimacy, not to settle for the things of the earth, but chose to draw away from the affairs of the earth and have this intimate communion with his Father in heaven. And out of this intimacy, he learned who he was. He began to recognize his identity as the Father began to speak into his life as he was journeying. What was his identity? What is your identity? Where do you get your identity? You'll find it in the Father. As you get intimate with him, as you live closely with him, he will let you know and tell you who you are. And that's why I believe later on he's able to say, you've seen the Father, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He wasn't boasting, but Father had told him, this is who you are. He didn't wear it with a badge and say, look at me, I'm God. He remained humble his whole journey on earth. But I believe that he was able to do some of these extraordinary things because of the intimacy he had with his Father. I suppose we could have further discussion on these things, and maybe it'd be more than just a sermon, but it's just these are things to think about. He was God, and he had compassion on people, as well as the intimacy with the Father. But I believe that what was done through Jesus was Father, so that the individuals that were witnessing and experiencing these things in their lives was drawing them to believe in God and what God wanted to do in this world. Because the Father was desiring to point people to his kingdom, he did these things through Jesus. John 5:19. I assure you that the Son cannot do anything by himself except what he sees the Father doing. That's Jesus speaking. He's identifying himself as the Son, capital S. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he does. He will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. Father was using Jesus, incarnate Jesus, to show the world, point the world to him. That's why Jesus did the things that he did. Somebody asked me, quite a few years ago, why don't we see the miracles today that Jesus did? And someone had told me, and I think at first I believed them, but then they said, we know too much today. We don't need the miracles to point the way to God. We've got enough books out there. We've got enough literature. We've got scripture written down for us. So we don't need the miracles today. I bought that for a second or two. We need the extraordinary. We do need the manifest power of God displayed in our world, in our country. Jesus was very clear to us. Everything you've seen me do, it wasn't me. Every action was Father. Every word I spoke was Father. It was Father's words that I spoke to you. I think I could take a yellow bird here and go off on a tangent, but I'm not going to, okay? So, returning to the greater things that we are to be doing, I would submit to you that we were created, or we have a purpose. or we have an ability to do extraordinary things. You can do extraordinary things. I'll say it. You can walk on water. Jesus was just as human as you. If he could do it, why can't you? You can tell the mountain to relocate in the ocean. Jesus said we could. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say, move. You can bring about physical healing. You can raise the dead back to life. Quite a few years ago, I was visiting with a pastor who was getting close to retirement. He had been a missionary to Haiti and was now working in the States. And he was leading prayer, gatherings around the country. And I happened to be at one of his gatherings. And he said, Bernie, he said, before I die, my prayer is that I will see a miraculous healing. Not just somebody get over cold, and I'm not saying we don't pray over the colds. And not just somebody is cured from cancer. I want to see something miraculous. I want to see an arm grow back on the body. Gave me a few other illustrations, and we think that can't happen. According to Jesus, it can. Not the greater things, but it can happen because we were created in a way that we can experience that the power of God working through us to see these things happen. I'm not going to say go out and walk on water. I'm glad the kids aren't here because they'd probably go out and try to do it and then we have a problem on our hands. But you know, in that intimacy with Father, and he says, they're in trouble out there on the lake. Go. What do? We try to find somebody that's got a boat. Maybe we should stay in prayer and just walk out there on that water. You may say, that sounds far-fetched. I understand that. But do you capture what I'm saying? The point is, we, in our faith journey, should be able to experience extraordinary events through our lives. I said this in my last message with you, is that we have this tendency to have our faith journey all worked out. We're happy. This is good enough for me. At our pastor's retreat this weekend, I thought about using some of what the speaker had to say, but I know James will put in his sermons later. And that's good. You want to hear this stuff. But I went to the speaker at one point after one of his messages, and I said, thank you. I appreciate hearing that. Because one of the things that I dealt with at the end of my ministry in a local church, as I was saying many of the same things he was saying, and the people are saying, this is good enough. I don't need more of God. I really, you know, I've gotten by without intimacy. Some said it directly. Some said it indirectly. But they still said it. See, we've figured this thing out and how we're supposed to live and how that we're supposed to be. And as that one preacher said, surely there's more. Surely there's more to this faith that we're experiencing. After the resurrection, Jesus told his disciples, there's more. Go and wait. Be filled with Holy Spirit. There's more. You think you got it, guys, but there's more. Don't miss it. They hadn't realized what was available to them at that point. And I'm telling you today, there's more for all of us. With the death and the resurrection of Jesus, a new thing was let loose on this earth. And we participate in that. And we follow that as we journey with Him. The greater things are a result of the resurrection, death and resurrection. As we take to the world the power and the love of God and the desire for others to be part of how God wants people to be a part of His kingdom. And all of that has been let loose in this earth. And as new creations, we are able to love with the overwhelming power all people, sharing His love with them. Power to love them into faith. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This verse comes right after a section where Paul has been saying, I've just learned how to be content, how to live in any situation, how to make it so that I can share the faith of Jesus with everyone, that they can experience what I have experienced as well. As new creations, we can experience intimacy with Jesus. It was out of that intimacy that Jesus was to accomplish these incredible miracles that we talk about, these great works. Paul says in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ, and I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection and participate with Him in His sufferings. I want to know intimacy, this Christ and His power and all things about Him. And we too will be able to accomplish incredible things out of this intimacy with Him. Boy, I'm in trouble. Sorry, James. I just went past noon. You're not going to believe this. I'm not hungry yet. And I can guarantee you, you'll eat sometime today. So that'll work. Let me land quickly, if you don't mind. Jesus, at the end of this narrative, this section of His desire and His teaching, talks about praying in the name of Jesus. The greater ways, the greater works will be possible because Jesus is with Father. His death and resurrection releases all the power in heaven through His disciples and through those who follow Him. And as we go out and do those things in His name, the same desire Father had for the people of the times of Jesus remain the same. That individuals, and I liked your prayer, there's someone out there that we're thinking about. We lead them to a faith and bring them into the kingdom of God to walk with Jesus, being filled with Holy Spirit, desiring greater outcomes than an election can produce. God wants to do greater things as we go out in His name. And if I can go back to the introduction, now that's power. That's power. Amen. One last verse, Ephesians 1:19. And His incomparably great power for those who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the Lord. It's ours. It's yours. It's the church. God wants to release that same power that rose Christ from the dead and take us out in the world with power. The ministry of Jesus continues through His disciples. What is your superpower? Father, maybe we've heard this before. Maybe we've ventured out and tried to claim power, only to find ourselves depending on our own strength. Maybe it's new to us. Would you quicken our minds and our hearts and our understanding so that we too can experience the resurrection power working through our lives, doing extraordinary things in our world? And it more than likely isn't going to be walking on water or changing water into wine, but it could be. It may be seeing healing take place in physical bodies, and or even people raised from the dead through our praying in the name of Jesus. But may it be that your kingdom advances and souls are brought into the kingdom through your power and your might. Amen. I want to close with some lyrics from a song that maybe you've heard on the radio, maybe you've participated with it. It says, I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak Jesus, the name of Jesus, till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every fear and anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Because your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I speak power. Blessings on you. And again, thank you for being here today. And I know God's doing great things in your life, individually, corporately, and in your community. And may he be glorified.